This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Solar power is amazing. You know, getting power from the sun, electricity from the sun, it's great, clean, renewable, but it's not free. There is an upfront investment that people have to pay to buy all those panels and that stuff. Working families have to weigh against just getting a regular monthly electric bill. And for years, there's been an interesting working arrangement between people who have home solar providers. CPS Energy will buy extra power that they generate. There are rebates available. But now CPS Energy wants to change the rules of the game, and they want to pay less for that extra solar power. Is this something that's going to kill home solar in San Antonio? We want to invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. You can go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And our guest this half hour, we have Lanny Sinkin. He's executive director of the local nonprofit Solar San Antonio, which advocates for solar energy in San Antonio. And we have Chris Jukster. He's the chief strategy and technology officer at CPS Energy. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I mean, let's go to Chris first over at CPS Energy. Can you describe the changes that are being proposed by CPS Energy to the way that you buy power from home solar providers?
Okay. And thanks, Dave, for having us on the show. Let me step back first and say that what we're trying to do with our rooftop solar program is to make it more market-based. Right now, it is heavily subsidized. We paid $8.6 million to roughly 392 customers for them to put rooftop solar on. And then on the metering side, on the net metering side, we are not recovering the cost of our infrastructure to continue to support those customers, even though they're probably using power from the grid for roughly 18, 19 hours out of the day, because solar only really produces power during those five, six hours.
So you're saying that CPS Energy loses money on home solar?
I would just say we are not able to recover it. And so if we're really going to scale rooftop solar and really take it beyond sort of a niche product, 392 customers, we have to figure out a way of scaling it. And one way to do that is to make it more market-based.
Okay, so what are you changing?
So what we're changing is making the net metering arrangement more market-based. So instead of,
I keep hearing that market.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Remember, our listeners don't really know that kind of stuff, so just kind of keep it jargon free.
Okay. So right now, we're not able to recover those infrastructure costs, which are basically a result of a fixed cost business. Most of our costs are fixed costs, whereas when we recover costs from the customer, it is a variable cost. So we're basically recovering a dollar per kilowatt hour amount. So if a user is not using the system and they're offsetting their meter directly, we're not able to recover those costs from that customer.
Okay, Lanny, maybe you can answer this question. What's changing?
Well, I'd like to back up a little too and just give a little historical context to the conversation. Back in January of 2012, CPS Energy announced that they were going to limit the rebate to $3.2 million. The year before, they had paid a total rebate of more than $6 million, and the setting of a cap of $3.2 million was going to see the rebate run out in 4 months. No one would buy solar for the remaining 8 months, and the solar industry would be dead and gone. And we went to battle over that one, and eventually more money was put in the rebate funds, and the solar industry survived. That one was announced without any consultation or any discussion with the solar industry. This one also was announced without any consultation or discussion with the solar industry. So it came as a complete surprise that a process that was in place, that everybody was understanding, that worked well, that was producing a lot of solar, suddenly was going to be changed. And as we examined the rationale for why it was going to be changed, the rationale simply didn't hold up. They're talking about cost recovery. First of all, they didn't present any cost recovery study as to what their costs are related to infrastructure that solar is not producing. They simply said it wasn't paying its fair share. So we don't have the underlying assumptions. We don't have the data. We don't know how they came up with their $1 million last year number. All of that is a mystery, but we're supposed to accept the fact that they're not recovering their costs. Well, we know that this is a problem for some utilities, particularly out in California where there's a lot of solar. There are utilities where at the peak, 25% of the energy being delivered is being delivered by solar. That's taking away a big piece of change from the utility that's going onto the solar side. In San Antonio, the problem is up in the 20 to 25% penetration range. Right now in San Antonio, the penetration is 0.2%, 100 times less than the problem level. There was no need to rush this program out before thoroughly discussing it with the solar industry and the rest of the community. There was no crisis to be dealt with. Yeah, we can talk about what's scalable into the future, but if that future problem is going to come in 6 years or 7 years, we don't need to do this in a one-month process like they're trying to do it now. So that's a fundamental problem we have. We think the whole premise on which this program was based is simply false.
All right, we'll kick that over to Chris Eulkster of CPS Energy.
So, what is changing is we continue to fully recover the cost of our service through the retail rate, but we give a credit for the value of solar. And this concept is called the value of solar. I mean, Solar San Antonio, had studied that and discussed it as well. It's a concept that potentially satisfies both parties because the utility can fully recover its cost, and the solar customer gets the value, the positive value of that solar amount. I think the challenge that we've had here is our number. Our number is 5.6 cents on the credit, and that is a lot lower than what I think Solar San Antonio is saying. We've taken a market-based approach. 5.6 is what the market values solar this year. And, there's a variety of reasons for that. Natural gas prices are low. Wholesale or, market prices in the power market are not high. And so that's the value of solar this year. We will reset that price every year based on certain attributes. The price of power during when solar produces, transmission line savings, environmental attributes. And if you look at the levelized cost or the average cost over 25 years, it we're predicting it to be 10.4 cents a kilowatt hour. But that could change.
The concern is that these changes are going to hurt people who want to have solar power, who they think this is a good thing. I want to have solar power in my home, but these changes are making this incentivizing getting solar power.
Yes, because it's a rate that's lower than what they're getting today, which is effectively nine cents because it's a straight offset. So we're going from 9 cents to 5.6 cents. We're still providing the upfront rebate, which covers about half of the cost of the system, but the tariff or the structure on the net metering side, we want to make that market-based.
Wow. Real quickly, I need like 10 seconds. Can you give me a quick response to that, Lanny?
It's hard to do in 10 seconds, and that's one of the problems. This is a very complicated topic, and they've given like 3 or 4 weeks to discuss it and reach a decision. They're complex systems that they're putting in place here. The value of solar, we could talk about that study for half an hour alone.
All right, well, we just got to keep to the essentials. We got to go hit a break right now. You are listening to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about solar power in San Antonio. Join the conversation. The number is 614-8980. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about solar power in San Antonio. CPS Energy is planning on changing the way that it buys solar power from the people who produce it on top of the rooftops. They have extra solar power that CPS Energy can use. We're going to go ahead and go to our phones right now. I've got several phone calls. Julia wants to jump in on the conversation. Julia, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A few years ago, my husband and I put solar panels on our house, and we've been really, really happy with the operation of those. But when we got the letter from CPS saying that they were changing the rules on us, we were really, really angry. And I plan to write a letter in response to that, but I don't know if there's anybody else that we should write to.
Well, why were you angry? What made you angry?
Because it felt like they were changing the bargain in the middle and really didn't let us know. I mean, we just got a letter in the mail that said, okay, we're going to change this.
Do you think that the city council should vote on this, since this is a city utility, and basically changing what they pay for, for this power is kind of like a rate change?
That I'm not sure about, but I feel like it was snuck in you know, without anybody knowing about it. And, I mean, I think the public needs to know. We need to promote solar power all over the country.
Well, Julie, one more question for you. So when you got into solar, did you do it because you wanted to do a green activity, or did you do it because of the dollars and cents?
Both.
Okay. All right, Julia, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much, Julia. So, Chris from CPS Energy.
Yeah, good question. This is a process. We are getting feedback. We are listening to our customers and, discussions with Solar San Antonio. We have, I think, we've updated on our website today. We have grandfathered current systems that are in place for the life of those systems. So that is, we made that change to address exactly that caller's issue.
All right,
we want to make this a look forward discussion, not a backwards discussion.
Okay, back to the phones. The phones are ringing, you know. So, Mary, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question is, I can't afford to put solar panels on my roof. Why should I, as a CPS customer, pay for somebody else who can afford to put solar panels on their roof? Why is that my burden to pay for their solar panels?
All right, let's kick that over to Alani Seekin from Solar Energy.
We view the putting of solar on rooftops in San Antonio as beneficial to all customers. You can think of it in a lot of different ways. For example, the more you put in solar, the less you use coal. The less you use coal, the less impacts there are on climate change, the less impacts there are on health, fewer asthma cases. That's a general community good. For the utility itself, putting in distributed solar, as contrasted with the large centralized solar units they build, distributed solar helps to stabilize the grid, reduces the peak demand, reduces stress on the equipment, lengthens the life of the equipment, and has a real value all by itself to every ratepayer. So those are the kind of things that we think should have been discussed before this whole change was proposed. Because what they're doing is they're taking the economic pain they're feeling from low natural gas prices and lowered consumption because of the recession and trying to put that economic pain onto the solar adopters, when in fact what happens when more and more people adopt solar becomes less expensive and a broader market is developed. That's the way it works with new technologies. The higher income people can afford them first, and then they're available to everybody.
All right, so Mary brought up a great point. She represents the average ratepayer, doesn't have solar power, wants to know if the, you know, ratepayers are subsidizing people who have solar panels. I mean, so Chris from CPS Energy?
Well, two things. Yes, we are. I mean, we paid $8.6 million to roughly 392 customers last year for solar rebates. So that is coming from the rest of the rate base, that $8.6 million. And this unrecoverable cost is also coming from the rate base. So there is a subsidy that's coming from other ratepayers who are not putting solar on. Let me just quickly add, we are doing so much on the clean energy front to address, using less coal. We're committing to retire coal units. And so we are doing a lot of stuff to address those
issues. That's a different topic for a different day. But, okay, so what you are being able to tap into these roofs of these people who have solar panels during peak demand. So that means that you don't have to build a whole other energy generator someplace that runs on natural gas or whatever and have it just on standby. And so now that when you have peak demand, boom, you get all these roofs and you're buying it and you're making money off of it, right? Off that power you're getting off of people?
Remember, power prices, even during peak hours, on average, are not that high in ERCOT at the wholesale level. We think the proposal we have on the table is we will pay $2 a watt to help on that upfront system, but we want to make that buying and selling of the solar power market based.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. Anthony wants to get in on the conversation. Anthony, welcome to The Source.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Great. Go ahead.
My question is, when a customer actually during peak demands generate more energy, and they're not at home, they're a 9-to-5 worker, and they generate that extra energy for their neighbor. What's the difference between putting solar and the CPS Energy Savers Program, or just putting a light bulb, or simply turning off their power? What is the difference between that on the meter side? I mean, CPS, that's how they determine whether or not you're not using energy is based off the meter. My question is, Is CPS going to incur some of that infrastructure cost to maintain the solar panels at that residential or commercial or industrial person's location?
All right. Anthony, thanks for that call. And Chris, do you want to answer that?
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it is a rate design issue. So most of our costs are fixed. We build big power plants, transmission distribution lines. But when we charge the customer, it is they're charged based on consumption. So we recover our costs through a consumption rate design. And so to address this, ultimately, you have to address the rate design issue, which becomes, you know, and that's a topic at the national level. So I think one of the reasons we like the concept of value of solar is because it gives credit to that solar component, unlike the energy efficiency piece.
So, Lanny, over at Solar San Antonio, what's your response?
A couple of things. One is it's curious to hear Chris use the term rate design issue because they're convinced this has nothing to do with raising rates. We think it does have to do with raising rates.
So you think it should go to City Council?
I think it should be going to City Council. But back on Anthony's question, what he was saying is if I invest in energy efficiency and lower the consumption of my household, I lower the income to CPS, I lower the amount being recovered by CPS for infrastructure. So are they going to come and take part of the savings I achieve in energy efficiency to recover infrastructure costs that I'm not paying anymore because I reduce my consumption? I don't think so. The only people they're going to is solar adopters. So it's basically a discriminatory policy aimed solely at solar. And one other point I think that's important in this discussion of fairness, CPS designed a wonderful program called STEP that has 15 different rebates in it. Almost anyone in the community can benefit from those rebates. And if you look at how they're done, probably the lower income areas benefit more from the energy efficiency rebates, and the higher income areas benefit more from the solar rebates. But everybody's helping everybody else. It's not a one-sided deal where all the low-income – they're trying to create a division between low-income people and high-income people that's simply false around the issue of energy.
So, Chris Eukster at CPS Energy, you're the chief strategist and technology officer. There was a recent report out that said that looking at the future of home solar, it could actually be a threat to these major central power-generating companies, utilities. Are y'all looking at it as that, as a threat?
No, I don't think we're looking at it like that. I mean, again, we're trying to kind of right-size this, make it fair to all ratepayers. I think there's still a number of technologies that have to play out for rooftop solar really to kind of displace the utility energy storage. Again, the sun shines 5 hours a day. That customer, no matter how much solar they have, they're still using that utility, the utility at night, in the morning when there's cloud cover. And so unless energy storage or battery storage comes into play.
So there's always going to be a need for a central utility.
At least for the next 10
years. San Antonio is not the only city dealing with these issues. This is something that's all utilities. But, you know, we are municipal owned. We have a monopoly. Other cities have competitive arrangements. But Shelby raises that point. Shelby, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you. Yes, sir. I guess my question is in regards to the Value of Solar campaign. It's a worldwide known campaign and a paper that was put out by Austin Energy and how they value commercial solar at 14 cents and residential at 12.8, and the drastic difference in the two comparisons and how CPS maybe isn't factoring in all the benefits of solar, which is a key issue, and the fact that this could be a rate change itself.
Okay, so Shelby, you agree that this is a rate change and that rate changes should be dealt with by the city council because this is a municipal-owned utility?
In that respect, based on the rules that are set out that we all play by, and really just concerned with the value of solar or the sun credit value that CPS has placed on solar, seems much lower than the actual benefits they receive over the long run and that all ratepayers would benefit from.
Okay. So thank you so much for that call, Shelby. So are we in the negotiation stage right now? Is there wiggle room to try and come to an arrangement that could make both parties happy, or is this is the deal that's on the table?
No, this is a proposal. We're in a review process. There's a May 3rd public meeting that I think customers can find out more about on our website. So this is a lot about kind of hearing what the feedback is on our proposal.
So the May 3rd public hearing at La Villita Assembly Hall.
Yes.
Lanny, so what are y'all going to do?
We'll probably go to the May 1st meeting of the City Council and talk to them about this problem. The value of solar is an extraordinarily valuable study to be used in setting rates. They have picked a way of using it where they're only willing to state what they'll pay the first year, which is 5.6 cents a kilowatt hour. From a solar company's point of view, if you go to the customer to sell solar, they have a few basic questions. How soon will it pay back? What is my rate of return? If all I can say is, I can tell you that in the first year, you're going to be paid 5.6 cents a kilowatt hour for your solar, but I cannot tell you for the remaining 24 years what you're going to get. I can't sell. So while this discussion is going on, there is damage being done to the solar industry every day. We have reports of up to $6 million in contracts that have been suspended or canceled because of the uncertainties created by this move by CPS, with no time out for everybody to understand what they're doing, for adjustments of behavior and all those things that could have saved the solar industry. We have companies talking about closing up shop here in San Antonio because they cannot sell solar until these guys decide what the number is.
So the uncertainty caused by this is causing a crisis in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
And so Chris Oakster from CPS Energy.
And we heard that. We hear that loud and clear. And that's one of the reasons that we have decided to grandfather current systems for their life of those systems, including those sales that happen through May 31st of this year.
But as Lanny described it, this is really a small segment, a real sliver of the pie for CPS Energy, what's going on here, right? This is not a major budget breaker for CPS Energy, what's happening with what you pay for this. Is that, or no?
No, it's still a very small problem right now, but it's growing quickly. I mean, we grew, okay, our solar installs grew at 957%.
All right, well, we're out of time. Great conversation. Thank to you both. As CPS Energy's Chris Yookster, Solar San Antonio Lanny Sinkin, this is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the news talking about mental health courts in Bexar County.